Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the Gospel from Mark 13 reminds us on this first day of Advent to read the signs. He is coming. The text begins with these words about the epic significance of Jesus' return that we just sang about. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming with great power and glory. This Son of Man, which means someone who has been born on earth, the same someone with great wisdom, revealed the kingdom of God to the followers and concealed it to those who were self-righteous. The same someone who died and rose from the dead in his body and ascended into heaven with his body from whence he came. Read the signs. He is coming back soon, Jesus says. As it says in the text, from the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also when you see all these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. The first coming of Jesus prepares us for the second coming of Jesus. We do know as we read the scriptures today, that in this Advent season, that Jesus has already come. But he wants us ever to be ready for him to come again. We practice this at every Advent when we sing, O come, Emmanuel. Or every day at the dinner table, we might pray, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Or at the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter, it says, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps all the prophecies in this book. And in the second to the last verse of the Bible, it says, surely I am coming soon. And St. John says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. A good question for us in our day is, do we still have reason to pray, come? Well, we do. When you believe that what rested in the manger on that first day of Christmas was not trivial, not merely good for commerce, not simply nice for the kids, not just as good as reason as any to drink nog and nap and sing Noel, to drop a grand on the kids, and then nickel and dime the Santa hat-wearing Salvation Army bell ringer who opened the door for you at Walmart just in time for you to get trampled in aisle 6. I've been a pastor long enough now to advise you to stay home on Black Friday, but to go out on Good Friday. It's not good for the economy, but it might save your life. Did you all read the news or see the news this weekend on Friday? Foolish Americans, they'll run and even trample others to get a toy, but will not run to church to get the treasure of eternal life. They'll shoot to end a dispute about who got their hands in the last wee first, but will not wash the sin of greed away and revenge away by believing that God makes all things right and that the perfect gift for Johnny is not at Target. And it's not the Mall of America or at Amazon.com. The treasure is here at church, and it is Jesus Christ, God's anointed, and he is here. He costs you nothing because it costs God everything. He gave up his son for the world so that Johnny could not have just some little silly electronic device, but could be one with him who created electricity, one with the maker of heaven and earth. A good question for our day is, do you believe that heaven, where God dwells, and earth, where man dwells, were united in the womb of a lowly virgin whose great-great-great-grandfather was King David, and that the holy child she gave birth to would lay in a lowly manger surrounded by animals, a star above, and some shepherds who kept watch of their flocks by night? Read the signs. Hear the witnesses. Thus be convicted by the Spirit of God. Believe that He has come and He is coming again. The word Advent means coming. The first coming of Jesus that we will hear about again this Advent prepares us for the second coming. The second coming is something about which Pastor Buescher and I know very little, other than what the signs say. Jesus, our Master, says in His Word today, "But concerning that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Well, if Jesus doesn't know, then we're not guessing either. It will be well for us to live like it might be tomorrow, but go ahead and plant your apple tree today, to borrow a quote from Martin Luther. We don't know when, but we do know this. The hiddenness of God's plan and His timing is meant to reveal how patient God is, giving us, His children, the opportunity to enjoy all the fruits of the earth, the turkey, the family togethers, the apple pie, the peanut brittle, the ice cream, and perhaps a wee bit of bowling. Thank God for all these truly wonderful gifts that we celebrate even this time of year. Furthermore, God's patience reveals His kindness. God is giving others who don't know Him the opportunity to return and to know Him as we know Him, knowing that He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. He may come tomorrow, He may come in 10,000 years. Some impatiently have to give up and say He's not coming. But we say, read the signs. Look to His Word and see His character. God is patient. No one knows the hour, and has He not already come? Is it then too much to think that He will come again? Too much to think He is working all things together for good for those who love Him and keep His commandments? We say right now, read the signs. God is patient. Return to Him before He returns. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Here's a little quiz for you today. It's only one question. What was the biggest failure of the Old Testament people of God? Well, there might be several good answers, like not trusting in God above all things and not loving your neighbor as yourselves. Those are good answers. But not the best answer. The biggest failure of the people of old is this: not expecting that God would make good on His promise to come and save His people. For everyone falls short of trusting in God above all things, and everyone falls short of loving their neighbor as themselves. They can never love enough. But the remedy for my failures and for your failures would be trumped by an even greater failure: not believing that the Messiah had come, bringing forgiveness and love. Not believing that all the promises of the Old Testament have been fulfilled by one man, the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The biggest failure of the Old Testament people of God was lack of faith in the coming Messiah. And even when He had come, they lacked faith in the signs, in His teaching, in His healing, in His crucifixion, and finally in the word of His resurrection. Then what do you suppose the biggest failure of our day is? Was it electing a bad president, meaning Bush or Obama? Was the biggest failure Vietnam or going into Iraq? Or could it be, just like the people of old, not believing that God makes good on His promise to come, and not believing that the Son of Man will come again? Advent is about reminding us of the good news of our coming Savior and to warn the world of how not to make the biggest mistake of all time. Believe He is coming. Tell others. Believe He is merciful. In this way, be ready. The biggest success in our world today is not getting that perfect gift for Johnny at Walmart. The biggest success in our day for you yourself is to believe the coming of Jesus as the perfect gift for the world, and for you to share your conviction with your children and your children's children. Read the signs. Jesus tells us today in the text to read the signs. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things taking place, you know that He is near at the very gates. Just as we read the signs from nature to know the coming of the seasons, fig branches are tender, they put out their leaves, summer is coming. Oh, the leaves are falling off the trees, winter is coming. So also we look to heavenly signs to know that heavenly seasons are coming. Read the scriptures. Read the signs. You know, this week I went up to UT Medical Center to see Gladys Frankenberg. Some of you know Gladys. She's one of our shut-in members. Poor Gladys, this last Tuesday, she fell. She broke her leg. She had to have surgery on Wednesday. Anyway, arriving at UT, I learned that she was in the Surgical Critical Care Unit 3, which I came to learn was on the fourth floor on the west end, but you have to use the east elevators to get there. If you're not confused yet, then I invite you to go to UT Medical Center and discover it for yourself. Needless to say, I had a little trouble finding Gladys. But it's not as though that they didn't have signs. They did, and believe me, I read them. But they seemed to me about as clear as mud. Perhaps I was too impatient in reading them, I don't know. I thought I was patient enough, but I guess you can never be too patient. But in my patience and in my confusion, I had to call the switchboard operator twice until I was too embarrassed to call again. Finally, I did get to Gladys's room. But it wasn't just because I happened upon Gladys. I had to ask a nurse from a different wing. She comforted me, and she said that this floor is crazy to navigate, even for us nurses. She had to read the signs, too. But the point is, I had help. She, reading the signs with me, helped me to get to be where I needed to be, in Gladys's room. Dear friends, God does not leave you alone to read the signs, the scriptures. He has built a church, bumbling as we may be at times. But nonetheless, God has promised to work through these servants of old, called the prophets and the apostles and even now pastors, to help you read the signs and to guide you to know the coming seasons of God. God has called us to declare the first coming of Jesus and how the first coming of Jesus prepares us for the second coming of Jesus. Therefore, come to church this Advent, and with us, read the signs. Take comfort in the signs. Read the signs at home, and know what the signs say. They say that your salvation is near, at the very gates. Return, repent, stay awake, lest He come suddenly and find you asleep. Jesus says in the gospel today, "What I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake. Believe that He has come and that He is coming. Be ready by faith and receive Him even now by faith as He comes to us in His word, the word of forgiveness that you receive today. And that word joined to bread and wine, Christ's body and blood, for the forgiveness of our sins." Which reminds us of that great day when we will see the whole body of Christ in paradise. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Read the signs. He is coming. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to confess.